Just moments ago, we sang the song, and in song we asked the question, does Jesus care? And the song answers that question, but also the text we just read together, that from the last of Hebrews chapter 4, answers the question as well, and inspired language. Christ, as our great high priest, was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And because of that, he is not unable to feel, to understand our difficulties, our frailties, our feelings. And because of that high priest we have in Jesus, we can come boldly to the throne described here as the throne of grace, that there we might obtain mercy, mercy we so desperately need in the times of need that we do have. And so, long story short, does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Though the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I don't have to remind you that these last several weeks have been especially trying for so many families here at Midtown. With sickness and diagnosis and accident and hospitalization and surgery, and prolonged hospitalization, and loss. It seems like we've been hit with one thing after another, one tragedy following another, one difficulty following the other. And though we know the answer to the question, does Jesus care? We know that. Still, we can't help but at our weakest, most vulnerable moments cry out in our own minds, does Jesus care? Does God see? Does heaven itself even have an interest in my situation? Does Jesus care? And of course, the answer is yes. And you might think, well, preacher, that's all you need to say. You might as well sit down and have the invitation now. But let me just spend a few moments in perhaps bringing this a little fuller in our understanding, at least in three areas. First of all, yes, he cares, but I have a conundrum that's always been puzzling to me, and that is, even though I know he does, God does care about me, I really don't know why. Aside from the fact that's just who God is, that's who Jesus is. God does not choose to love. He is love. Christ does not choose to love. He is love. And beyond that, I have no answer to the question, why is heaven as concerned about me and you as it is? Perhaps you remember with me that wonderful text in Psalm 8, where the psalmist speaks at the beginning of God's majesty, of his greatness, of his awesomeness. And then toward the middle of the chapter, he morphs into this question I've just brought up. The chapter begins, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who set thy glory above the heavens. Well, that's without having to be said. That's the kind of God we serve, a God who is before all and before all, by whom everything consists. That's the God of heaven and earth. But then toward the middle of that eighth psalm, the psalmist continues by saying, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. Now, we have so much, enjoy so much, we have such blessing in spite of who we are, what we've done, the mess we've made of things. God always has love for us and has shown such abundance of grace toward us. What is man that God is even mindful of us? And that is a reference the Bible makes more than once in the Psalms. In the 139th Psalm, we realize that even before we were born, God cared about us. In our forming, in our mother's womb, God cared about us. And this phrase of his mindfulness is played out again in Psalm 115. Where in contrast to the idols that men's hands had made, idols which had eyes and ears and throats and mouths, but they couldn't do anything with these artificially made parts of the body. In contrast to these false gods, we have a God of heaven who's done whatsoever he has pleased. And what has he pleased? There snuggled in that 115th Psalm is this gem. The Lord has been mindful of us. And sometimes we sing that the wonderful hymn of Brother Sanderson, "The Lord has been mindful of me. He blesses and blesses again." And so, yes, he cares, but still the question remains, why? Well, he is love. Do we deserve it? No. Can we in any way merit his love? Absolutely not. Can we ever hope to pay him back? Not a chance. But in spite of all that we are, the lack that we have, God loves us. He just does. Why, we may never fathom, we may never know. We may always wonder, but he does. But second, God's always loved us. And many of these wonderful passages about love are in the Old Testament. As we began the Lord's Supper this morning, I appreciate Brother Billingsley reading that passage from Psalm 108, which speaks of God's love long before Christ came and lived among us, long before his death upon the cross. God's always loved his people. His mercy and truth endures for all generations. So the last of Psalm 100 tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd," the favorite psalm of many. And Psalm 23 reminds us of how God loves us. He's always loved his people. And yes, we have a special bond with God through Christ now, unavailable for those in Old Testament times. That's true. We have blessings now unique to us in Christ that were never anywhere before Christ, that couldn't be had anywhere outside of Christ. That's true, but there's never been a time when God hasn't loved his people. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Now that's quoted by the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament, but it's quoted from the Old Testament. God's always loved his people, always loved them. But especially number three this morning, and that's what I'd like to spend just a moment on. We have now something never available before, and that goes to the text we just read together. There's a wonderful understanding we ought to have of God's omniscience, his knowing everything, his being fully fleshed out in terms of having all wisdom, all knowledge. God doesn't have to Google anything. He doesn't have to find out anything. And he's never asking us for advice. We're never counselor to him. God is omniscient. But there's a difference in knowledge of wisdom, knowledge of omniscience, and knowledge of experience. And there are some things unknown to God in the same way he knew them that did not happen until Christ came and lived among us. When God, as Emmanuel in Christ, God with us, came and was born of the Virgin Mary, grew up from babe to childhood to young adulthood to now as an adult, teaching and preaching, performing miracles, giving his life and death, until God became flesh. Oh, God knew us. He loved us. He cared about us. He made us. He knew more of us than we knew of ourselves. But there is a sense in which he didn't until Christ came and felt what we feel from the inside out, knew what we know from the inside out. Again, I'll remind you of our text. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There's a lot there in those few words. The feelings of our infirmities. We've all dealt with infirmities of one kind or another, and we know the feelings that come with them. Feelings sometimes we don't have a lot of control over. Feelings that sometimes if left to wash over us can take us to places we would not want to go. But Christ came and he knows this because he lived this life amongst us, along with us. And those things we feel, he felt. Those pains we experience, he had those pains. Those temptations we go through, Christ was tempted as well. In all respects, as we are tempted, as we have our feelings of infirmity, Christ in the flesh, God with us as Emmanuel, he had all of this himself, yet without sin. But he felt all of this nonetheless. And because of that, as our great high priest now sitting on God's right hand, as we pray to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, him now as our intercessor, but also our mediator, our advocate with the Father as well, he is speaking our case before God, having been one of us and knowing exactly, as it were, where we're coming from. Knowing how we feel. You think you're forgotten? Or Christ came to a world that was made by him, a world, even though made by him, knew him not. He came into his own received him not. Those are John's words in John chapter 1. You feel rejected, forgotten on the outside? Well, Christ knows what that feels like because he felt that way. And when you pray to the Father and Christ on God's right hand hears that prayer and acknowledges that and speaks to God on your behalf as your advocate, he can, as it were, say, I know what that feels like. No wonder he cares. I know he cares because he knows what it feels like. Ever have people work actively against you? Who are your enemies? Well, you better believe Christ knows what that feels like. He was nailed to a cross by his enemies. He spent his entire ministry with those religious leaders of his day, railing against him and falsely accusing him and blaspheming his very purpose in life, his very being before the Father. Christ knows what it's like to have people against you, at your heels, wishing you harm. And when you pray to the Father in a situation like that, you can rest assured Jesus cares, and he knows. But then especially you face times of a special pain and difficulty. distress, discomfort, and even loss? Does Jesus care? I don't know what your first verse to remember to memorize in the Bible was. We taught our kids, children obey your parents. And if you knew our kids, you knew why that was the first one. And as a child, I always learned that wonderful passage in the Old Testament, a wise son makes a glad father. But a lot of kids learn their first verse from John chapter 11, just two words. Verse 35, Jesus wept. And it's an easy verse to remember. Sometimes that's the reason why it's the first one we memorize, because it's easy. Jesus wept, John 11, 35. But there's so much in those two words. His good friend Lazarus had just died. Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, also good friends of Jesus. They were there when Lazarus had passed away. Jesus could have been, but he chose not to be on purpose for what was about to happen next. He comes after the fact, after the body's already been laying in the tomb for some time, a few days. And one by one, the sisters, they greet our Lord with the same accusation. If you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And that had to have hurt, because Jesus knew what was about to happen. He was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that, but at the same time, those words must have stung. Because yes, he could have been there. He could have healed him. He could have kept all this from happening, all this grief from happening. He could have, but he stayed behind long enough for all this to transpire. And he comes after the fact, as it were, and listened to them say that, reminding them that he is the resurrection, the life, and he proves it. But as he goes out to the tomb, where the body of Lazarus was there, the sisters were nearby. The friends of Lazarus were gathering around. And the Bible says simply, he wept. This isn't the only time Jesus cries, but the times mentioned are few. And in other times, it's about the sin of the people. But this isn't about that. Some ask, well, why did Jesus cry? It doesn't tell us why, but it does tell us what those who were there thought. Those friends gathered around said, behold how he loved him. I have to take them for their word. Some say, well, he's crying because he's about to bring Lazarus back and Lazarus doesn't want to come back. Well, that's writing a lot into the text that's not there. But that could be true. He's crying because of the disbelief, the unbelief, the failing faith of the sisters as he comes. Doesn't say that, and I think that's reading too much into the text too, but it could be. But I think Occam's razor fits in right here, and the simplest explanation is probably the best. I think those gathered around had the best idea of what was going on. Behold how he loved him. Jesus wept with those who were weeping. And having gone through that, even now, when we pray to the Father, when we don't have the words, we bring our request to the throne of grace, asking for mercy in our times of need, not even knowing what we need, not even knowing what words to say. We have Christ right there as God's hand, and he's been through it. He knows what it feels like to lose someone so close, so near and dear, and to feel the pains of those around in such loss. And so, yes, we have in Jesus something that no one had before. God always loved us. He's always loved his people. But now in Christ, he's experienced what we experience. He's felt as we feel. And he knows by experience what we go through. Which means when we sing the chorus to that wonderful song we just sang a moment ago, "Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares." The words mean even more than they ever would before. Mean more than they ever could before Christ came and lived and died for us. And so let me say once more this morning, regardless what you're going through, what pain you may feel, regardless what your life is bringing your way, you can rest assured as God's child, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. It's ours to believe. It's ours to have faith. It's ours, regardless, to be thankful. Ours to trust. It's his to care. It's his to provide. And so he will. Perhaps you're with us this morning and outside of Christ. I've just described this morning the wonders of those blessings we have in Christ, one of which is his continued presence in our lives, his blessings in our lives, his being on God's right hand advocating our case before the Father. If this morning you're not in Christ, all of this is past, beyond what you have available to you, but it's there for the taking. Have you ever thought about obeying the gospel, becoming a Christian, wearing Christ's name, and enjoying these blessings for yourself? If not, this morning you can do that by believing in Christ as God's Son, turning away from sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and yes, being baptized to have your sins washed away by his blood. Or perhaps as a child of God, you've had this, you still have it, but you've walked away from it and need to come back. What better time than now to do that? But if you need to come, come now, as together we stand and sing.